the glory of Christ's humiliation. Philippians chapter 2, starting from verse 6, says, this is talking about Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Look at the contrast of the position here. Former God, equal with God. See those words here. Almighty, all-powerful God. You can see the former God. Former God means it's truly his, the nature of Jesus is the same as God. Same nature, same essence, former God. Equal with God means having the same perfections of God. Same name as God. Same worship that means attributed to God. He is infinitely high. Infinitely higher than anybody else. Almighty God. Now, in humiliation, he was in the, he from the very highest position, he came to the very lowest position. The Bible says, and being humble, verse 8, as a man, that's a very low position, from the highest position of God, to be clothed as a man is a very low position. Not only that, he went even deeper. He went even deeper to a lowest position of man. That is a servant. And he says that he humbled himself as a man, in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient. He became a servant. This is what is called humiliation of Christ. From the highest to the lowest, to the deepest low. Now, if you look at his birth in Luke chapter 2, where the humiliation began, we saw this last week, as I'm going to continue on this. Luke chapter 2, we see in verse 4 how Joseph, they were called, there was a census that was issued by the government that everybody to be registered. And also, verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary. Then he says, verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth his firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room then in the inn. Wow. Here, the baby, this baby, the birth was different. It's not how the world presents. He was not born in a palace. This baby, there was no cradle to rock him. There was no nurse to take care of him. There's no doctor, no hospital, no hotel room, no blankets to cover him. But in a manger, what is a manger? A manger is where cattle and horses stay. That's where it is. That's where the cattle and horses, their foods are being kept for them to eat. That's where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who became a man, and he was born there. This is different. The perspective how the world offers. This is different. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27 says, it says here, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built. What he's saying is, will God, he cannot even be con-
they dwell even in the heavens or the heavens of heavens. He's so glorious. He's so magnificent. He's so majestic. Oh, no. See the humility, how he came from the heavens and came to a manger. Wow. Now that is amazing. He was brought to the lowest points. Verse 8 says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone and around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day is the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What you see here is that these beautiful incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ was given by God to shepherds. It was not given to the Pharisees, not given to the doctors of the law or to the people who were very intellect, but to shepherds. That is amazing. And you know what? Jesus was born to a poor family. When I say poor, I'm talking in poverty, because they were really living in poverty. Now, if you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 12, Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of her foreskin shall be circumcised. This is a circumcision. Then she shall then continue in her blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. Now, verse 6, when the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb for the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it. Okay, then see verse 8. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, that means if she cannot afford, if she doesn't have money to bring a lamb, then she may bring a 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons as a burnt offering, and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. Now, during the time of purification, Joseph and Mary, they were so poor, they could not afford a lamb. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 24, Luke 2:22-24. Now, verse 22 says, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, that's not exactly what we read in the book of Leviticus. Because they were God-loving people, they wanted to obey the law of God, they brought him to Jerusalem, that is Jesus, to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said to the law of the Lord. What did they bring? A pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. They couldn't afford a lamb. They were so poor. Imagine, Jesus was not born in a palace. He was born in extreme poverty family. Joseph could not even afford a lamb. But go back to Luke chapter 2, back again, when the angels came, and verse 13 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to the highest, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
You know, I'm just thinking, if a person who is extremely rich, if they had their first child, they will give a huge party and announce the whole world. And they will show it up with their wealth. But it didn't happen that way. Remember at the inauguration of the president, how the media and television and everybody comes and shows how great it is, But the birth of Jesus, it didn't happen that way. It was not told to the entire world because he's such a popular person from a men's perspective. But it was told to some shepherds. And here we see it was the angels in heaven came and started to worship and praise him. Wow! He didn't want praise from people, from the world, but it was the angels praising and worshiping this magnificent event in front of who? Some poor shepherds? That doesn't make sense, does it? Yes, that doesn't make sense from the world's perspective. Yes, from the God's perspective. Because the way of God is different. Wow. It was a heavenly praise. Because you know why? The Son of Righteousness was born. The Savior was born. If you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifested, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Then what it says, that it's seen by angels. That's what he's talking here. Angels came and glorified God, and they sang, and the multitudes of angels. Wow! What a choir. Now if multitude of angels are singing, nobody else saw. Isn't that amazing how God shows only to some people his revelation, not to everybody? Nobody else saw. It was shown only to the poor shepherds. Wow. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6 says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Wow. Let all the angels of God worship him. How much more we should worship him for what he has given us, salvation. And Luke chapter 1 verse 47, even Mary said, 46, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Here Mary is worshipping now, saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. And she says, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Even Mary acknowledged that she's a sinner. Here she needed a Savior, and her spirit was rejoicing as my God and my Savior. He is called Emmanuel, God with us. You know what? Mary saw her Creator. When this little child was born, Mary saw her Creator. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 17. Isaiah 17 verse 7. In that day, In that day, a man will look to his Maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not look to the altars, the work of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. In that day, when the Son is born,
You don't have to look into the altars. You don't have to look into the images. You don't have to look what man has made. You don't have even to look into the tabernacle, because He is the tabernacle who came from heaven. He is the temple. Wow. He is the maker. In that day, man will look into his maker, his creator. Here, Mary, seeing the creator. And Mary is excited, worshipping God. The angels are worshipping God. But where was He born? In a manger. Wow.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the vine." Jesus did not say, "I am the cedar," or "I am the oak," which are very tall trees.
But He said, "I am the vine." Vine is the lowest. It's the weakest. It's not the tall tree. The sky opened and the righteousness was brought to earth. Wow. This is what happened. The righteousness of God was brought to earth. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 85 verse 11.
Shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Verse 13, the righteousness will go before Him and shall make His footsteps our pathway.
Wow.
Here we see the truth that spring out of the earth.
Jesus said, "I am the truth and the life." He is the truth that came from Him, from the earth.
And here righteousness will go before Him and shall make His footsteps our pathway.
He has given us the pathway of righteousness.
Wow, amazing. And of course He was born where? In the birthplace of David, the city of David, Bethlehem. And I said, Christ, this Bethlehem, the place where He was born, is very poor. And He was born to a very poor family. Of course, you know the scripture, John 1:46, says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Was born to a very poor family. First Adam was created as a grown-up. Right? The second Adam was born as an infant. Just like all the other children, he has to grow up just like a little baby. He was a little infant, had to be carried by Mary. He was fully human, also fully God, but fully human. And he had to grow up. Even grow up in his wisdom. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 2 verse 40. To grow up like all the other children without any exception, because he was fully human. Luke chapter 2 40 says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." See verse 52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men." Here we see he was born. When he was a little baby, suddenly he didn't have all the knowledge. He had to grow in this wisdom as he grew, just like anybody else. You understand? The Bible says he grew up in wisdom and increasing in knowledge. And Luke chapter 2 verse 42. "When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast." You know the story, how they went to Jerusalem. What happened? Mary and Joseph couldn't find him. He was lost suddenly. And where was he? Verse 46. "Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him," where? "In the temple." What was he doing? sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them, asking them questions. 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Let me tell you, while all the other children, 12 years old, what did you do when you were 12 years old? All the other children are playing in the streets. Jesus is in the temple. And the whole focus is on him because he was listening and asking them questions, and they were amazed of his knowledge. Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. If he has so much knowledge, and if the parents were so poor, parents, they didn't even have money to send him to a good school because they were so poor. They didn't even have money for a good education, to be trained under the feet of a rabbi. They didn't have that money. They were so poor. Turn with me to John chapter 7 verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Right? Wow. You see how God, this is the Messiah, this is the Son of God who came in flesh, eternal Son of God, how God himself was with him, and God is the one who gave the wisdom and the increasing knowledge of God, and he came to do the will of God, and he didn't have to go to a specific school to study. It's the wisdom of God manifested in the flesh. That's it. And also see Matthew chapter 13 verse 54. Matthew 13. Come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get his wisdom? We didn't see him going to school.